caught off guard, but you know, that's just part of being in the ministry. Sometimes it has to be. You got to listen to your pastor as well, and we did. And a few days before, Amy was talking to Lisa Nispel, who are their missionaries going to Romania. And of course, thank you, buddy. Me and Amy were on a pity party. And Lisa just wrote and said, "Do you know what we just went through?" And she explained this absolutely gruesome room that they just stayed in. I mean, urine-covered mattresses. They got two towels between four people with one washcloth, nothing washed, dust and dirt all over the place. And Amy got up. She goes, "I said, babe, let's go wash all the sheets and get this house ready for these people." I said, "We are not doing that to anybody staying in our house." And we just determined in our heart that we were going to treat them like they've never been treated in their life. And we just went out there and just laid ourselves on the line for them. And I believe the Lord will bless us for it. And we had a good time. Of course, they're on the road. I knew I was going to miss them like I did the Nispels. I get close to the men, and they may not be everything, but you know what? They're knuckleheads that God has called, just like me. I can relate to them. I can relate to who they are and what their heart is into. And no, he may not be perfect and have everything down, but he does love the Lord. And me and him just, we fellowshiped together, and it was a good time. And I think Amy just went totally out of her way to help in every possible way she could. And it ended up being a good time, I think. Amen. And we get to go home into an empty house, and we're happy about that as well. It's a lot of people in one house, but you know,
that's right.
The Lord calls you to do something like that. Just be obedient and do it. I think the Lord, He's okay with that obedience. I'm not going to get into everything, but everybody knows the trouble that me and Amy are facing. There's a lot of things going on. And I got a phone call from somebody yesterday, of somebody who I work with in the ministry. And immediately after I left one person's house, thank you for that barbecue chicken, it was wonderful. Bob, But anyway, left his house, and I asked Amy. I was hurting all day, you know, at their house hanging out. I was hurting my back. I couldn't get out of the chair, just having a bad time. I was ready to go home, and I was ready to put my feet up. And I had somebody call me, and I had to run and go deal with somebody in Wellsville. Against everything that I wanted to. I just wanted to go home and rest. And I said, "That's not me." I said, "Brother Josh, here's what happens to people." I said, "They no longer want to stick their necks out there for anybody anymore. They think about themselves." I said, "I did that one time. The Lord about broke my neck." I said, "I won't do it again." And I just pushed myself to the limits. And I went out there and I dealt with that person for a little bit. I brought Brother Josh with me to meet him. And I just wanted to see what kind of people I deal with and what's going on. And, you know, it's not like Adam's a horrible, you know, disgusting person. He's a good kid. He just doesn't know better. And the Lord's been, you know, giving me to work with him. And it was a good time anyway. So obedience. I know through everything right now, I'm learning obedience. Obedience. And am I going to get some big prize at the, you know, here on earth, or I'm going to go home and there's going to be $1,500 laying on my lawn or something? No, I don't expect that. I really don't expect that. This is what I really am expecting from God. You might be shocked to hear it. I'm expecting him to get us through it. That's all I want. I want nothing more. Just please help us through it, because I don't know any other way. And I said last week that when me and Amy were going through troubles, we always yell uncle pretty quickly. Why don't we give up, uncle? This time we have not. We're saying, "Lord, just be our strength." And I'm just telling you, it got me closer in the Word. It's got me trusting Him a lot more. It's got me doing things that I never thought I would do. I mean, it's just bringing me somewhere I never thought would be possible. And what a life. What a life. I mean, I can't explain it. In the midst of trouble, Jesus is there. And that's what I'm preaching on today. In the midst of whatever you're in, Jesus is there. And we're going to start in Daniel. You all know this, but I want to get into this. And I'm just telling you, man, no matter what you're going through, He's there. Here's the problem. People don't want to look to see where He's at. They try everything else and look everywhere else, and they're missing the whole thing, what He's trying to get you to see and do, and they're just missing all of it. We're going to start in Daniel 3, Verse 19. Daniel 3:19. Some ask, where is in Jesus at all this? The answer is, he's right in the midst, along with us. And here's some examples. I just want to give you some examples. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury. Listen to this next part. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This guy was so mad that his whole facial, everything about him changed. Just changed. He was so angry at these three people. And it says that it changed, and he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it ought to be heated. 7 times more than it was ever heated. That's the number of perfection, by the way, just to let you know. Okay, just want to put that in there for you. That means that's God's perfection at number 7. So God knew how much they could handle. Okay, God knew that he was going to be in there, and he knew how much they could handle on that. Okay, that's pretty amazing. You get a little stuff like just little tidbits, just little nuggets I find once in a while. I like that kind of stuff. It may not mean nothing to nobody else, but it sure means a lot to me that know that Jesus Christ knows what I need and what I can handle, and he'll be there with me when they turn it up. Because I'm just telling you now, when you become a Christian, that heat gets turned up quite a bit. Am I lying, Amy? That heat gets turned up in that furnace 7 times more. Oh, here we go. And I just wrote down, when the religions of this world and the world are putting you through the fiery furnace, Jesus is there. Verses 20 and 21. It says, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And then the men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They brought the world and the world's religion right in the fire with them. You see, the world's religion doesn't like Christianity anymore. And therefore, they want to persecute you. And that's what that is right there. That's a show of what this world does to Christianity. Well, I mean, true Christianity, true people who are really saved and who are living for the Lord, that world wants to take you and cast you into a fire. They don't want nothing to do with you anymore. They want to burn you right out of their neighborhood, burn you out of everything that you ever get yourself into when you become a Christian. They just don't like it, and they want to cast you in that furnace. It's okay. Let them cast you. Jesus is in there with you. Verse 25, where did he find Jesus? And he answered and said, this is verse 25. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of fire, and they have no hurt. And the fourth is like the Son of God. The fourth, the one standing in that fire with you, is Jesus Christ, man. When you think that there's no way, that you have no way to get out of it, I'm just telling you now, Jesus is standing in the midst. He doesn't care how hot it gets. He's there with you to protect you from it. You know why? Because when they stepped out of that fire, they weren't touched at all. They were fine. Everything about them was fine. You know, we got to get to that point in our life where no matter what the world or the world's religions throw at us, that we can go through that fire and come out the other side and be just fine. Still have our faith in Jesus Christ. And still stand there and be able to praise God and worship him. Now, brother talked about it earlier today. In the flesh, that's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to do to say, Lord, go ahead and make me what you want, do what you want to do with me, because we like to fight it. That's a hard place to be. When she sang this song this morning, Surrender All. Surrender All. I'll just say that. How many are surrendering all today? How many? I mean, let's be honest. That's a hard place to be, to surrender all. But that's, you know what? That's what he wants from us. He wants us to surrender all. Toward the point where me and Amy, guess what? We just gave it to the Lord and said, we surrender all. Now tell me, has that been easy for you? Not sure. I'll tell you what, has not been easy for me. Has not been easy. I'll wake up in the morning, all of a sudden all these thoughts come to my head. I say, Lord, I'm trusting you and your word. Get it out of my head. I don't want to think about it. I'm going to trust you and your word. I'm going to stand on you for this, Lord. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not asking for anything. I don't want any. Lord, I'm just going to stand on your word that you're going to have me, that I'm going to be able to trust you, and that you're going to be able to be there. You know where I got this message from? Sitting there reading. I was just sitting there reading. The Lord said, Dale, I see you hurting, but I'm here with you. And that just comforted me like I had never been comforted in my life. I was talking to Brother Jim today. I said, it doesn't make it any easier. But you know what makes it easier? Knowing that Jesus Christ is with me. Amen. That no matter what, I said, we've already determined in our heart, me and Amy, that no matter what happens, we may lose some stuff, we may gain some stuff, but whatever happens, we got Jesus with us. He's going to be there in the midst, and he's going to get us through it. And we're ready just to hold on and pray and go for the ride. You know what Jim said to me? He goes, Dale, what's out there for us? Why would we turn away from Jesus? What's out in that world that we already don't know? It's going to just toss us away anyway. He said, might as well just trust Jesus and go with him.
That's right.
I said, boy, that's good, Jim, because I just told my wife that. I said, what do? Turn back to the world? God forbid. Lord, if I was to ever turn back to this world, just take me away. Don't let me even walk through the next doorway. Just take me out of here. Boom. I don't want to go back to it. And I mean that with my heart. There's nothing I want in this world. There is nothing. Nothing. When the storms of life just seem to be too much and you feel like you're sinking and drowning, turn to Matthew 8. You've heard all these. And, you know, that's my point. That's my point the last few weeks. I've been telling my Sunday school class and all that. You hear the Word of God, but are you living? Are you holding on to it? Is it in your heart? Is it changing who you are? The very being. You have to understand, if you're a saved person, you have Jesus Christ in you, and things have to change. It cannot stay the same. So let me tell you something. Before you were saved, you heard the Word of God. Now that you're saved, you need to not only hear it, but do it. He calls us to trust Him. He calls us to lean on Him. How many times David said, Lord, help me. You've got to be my strength in this time of need. You've got to be my strength in this time of need. You have to be my strength in this time of need. Instead of us turning to ourselves and everything that we ever... we've always solved our own problems, and it's got us into a mess. And Jesus says, no longer do you have to do that. We can turn to Him and let Him give us direction. You know what? We're still knuckleheads and still make wrong choices. But you know what? He's there to help us get out of it. He's in the midst. So Matthew 8, we're going to start in 24. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. You see, Jesus isn't out there shouting and screaming. He took a nap. When he was in the furnace, he wasn't out there saying, I'm Jesus, here I am. He just got in there with him. You see that? He's in the midst. He's there among us. And we're looking for this big explosion, this big this to happen. And then he says, in that still small voice. You know, what they say? Go ahead and cast us in there. The Lord will help us. If not, we're going to go to heaven anyway. And we're going to just burn up and that'll be it. It'll be over for them. And I'm paraphrasing. So what's that tell you about their faith? They either knew Jesus or the Lord was going to come help them, or they were going to go to heaven. One of the two. What they had to lose. Either way, they got in there, bang, who shows up? You see? But they didn't know. They just had faith that something was going to happen. Either they were going to, he was going to show up, or they were going to go to heaven. And guess what? He showed up. Matthew 8:24 and 25, excuse me. His disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Lord, save us, we perish. So here he is taking a nap, not out there, you know, worried about a thing. If it gets some rest, and save us, we perish. 26. And he saith unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye little faith? Bam, I could stop right there and preach a whole message just on that. Why are you so fearful, O ye little faith? Oh, I'm going to trust the Lord. No, maybe not. Yeah, I'm going to trust the Lord. Oh, maybe not. Oh, we're sinking. We got to get out of here. Hurry. We got to do something about it. Get the life jackets. We got to take it in our own hand. We can't trust God. He's sleeping. Look at it. He wants nothing to do with us. He's ignoring us. We've got to hurry and get him to do it ourselves. Oh, you little faith. We'll get up here. Sometimes I hear preachers preach all this stuff, and then something happens to them, and guess what? Their faith went down the toilet just as quick as anybody else's.
Yeah.
Oh, you little faith. You see, I say it a lot, you know, it looks good. People look good and they look happy and when things are going right and people have money in their pocket, everything's hunky-dory. But when God starts stripping that stuff away from you and you got nothing else but to stand on Him, they don't look so happy and cheerful anymore. Mm-hmm. Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. I told my wife, I said, Amy, I thank God I'm saved, and one of the proofs of my salvation, just one of the proofs, I mean, just absolutely blows my mind, is that I can go out right now. I told the kids this at Sunday school last week, or maybe a VBS. I said, I can go out right now, guaranteed, and in the next 3 days, I'll bring home $2,500. Not a problem at all. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. But I choose not to. I choose to trust Jesus and see what He's going to do for me and my family. Don't tell me I can't go out and do it. I can go out and do it. I guarantee that. That won't even be an issue with me. But you know what? I have a new heart. I have Jesus who says, Dale, you don't need that. I have you. You see, I can't go out there and solve my own problems anymore. I've got to rely on Jesus to help me. He's got something for me. He needs me to see something. He needs me to learn something. And it's something that I never would have ever thought of in my entire life. It's something that I can't even comprehend right now because I have no clue. I pray, what is it, Lord? Did I do something wrong? No, it's, you know what? I don't believe I did something wrong. I mean, I do wrong. Trust me, I do wrong. But I believe it's just a lesson. Of what? Because I said, Lord, help me to fall in love with you and trust you above all things. That was one of my prayers. And man, guess what I'm being tested on? Mm-hmm. I know on the outside, later on down the road, guess what? Maybe in a year I'll be able to look back, like Pastor said, man, I'll be able to rejoice. Man, Amy, look what we went through. Look what God did for us. Look at the training. I mean, just look at where we are now with our faith and, look what's going on. Maybe be able to look back at that and say, man, that's why we went through that. That's why. I tell the kids in the book, I'm pretty sure it's the book of Proverbs. It says, I'm going to paraphrase, but man, I just had this verse this morning. It says, don't put all your trust in the money because it has wings and it'll fly away. Mm-hmm. Oh man, what a big mistake that was for me to put trust in money. And now that it's gone, what am I going to rely on? I believe the Lord was teaching me a lesson that I need to rely on Him and not money. I relied on money to keep me and my family. Yes, we need money. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is when you put money above the trust of God, He does not like that. And so therefore, He's just been stripping and stripping. You know what? So our eyes are going to be fixed on Jesus Christ and not on money anymore. That money, I mean, yeah, we all need to survive, but He knows that I'm a knucklehead when I get money. I'm ridiculous with it. And I made the mistakes. I made the mistakes. I pray, God, please, I know you set people free. I know you help people. You know, but I'm a slave to the lender, man. I made mistakes and I need your help out of this. And you're just going to have to help me and my family. And you know what? That's what I'm trusting today. I'm really putting that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in motion.
Yeah.
We're all going to trust in Him. It doesn't say some of your heart or when times are good, but it says all of your heart. And then it says not to lean on your own wisdom or your own understanding, to rely on His. And I'm just going to tell you now, when you're laying flat on your back and you're going through all the troubles you're going through, that's a hard place to be. It's hard to look up when you're used to facing down. But you know what? No longer am I doing that anymore. I have a Father in heaven who will take care of me better than anything or anybody on this earth. And I mean with all my heart, I stand on that. Because I have nothing, right now I have nothing else to stand on. But you know what? It's been proven pretty good. We're okay. We're okay. We're still out doing the things we're called to do. We're still out doing, you know what? Don't ask me where the okay comes from because I can't tell you that. Because in my flesh, it's almost impossible for me to feel good the way I do. It's impossible. I shouldn't be smiling and being happy and all that, but you guys see how I am. Why is that? It's a peace that passes all understanding. He's got me in His hand. He's got me in His hand. So yeah, when the boat's sinking, I'm going to get to that. Verse 26, and He saith unto them, why are you so fearful? O ye little faith. Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now, you know, them sea, them storms come, man. They hit hard, man. Bam, bam, and bam. They hit hard. And He said, you know what? He didn't let them go. He let them go for a little bit. Yeah, he didn't just stop them. He talked to them first. You see that? He ignored the request for a minute there. He just said, well, let me ask you something, you little faith. I believe he paused in there for a minute or two. Let the storms keep raging for a minute. Then when he thought, oh, maybe they've had enough, then he said, okay, you can calm down now. It was nothing to him. Do you realize anything we ever go through will be nothing for him? Here's the thing. Here's the whole kicker. We don't believe that. Don't tell me we believe it, but we don't trust him. Why did he say, oh, why are you fearful, oh, you little faith? Because you don't trust him. You want to learn how to trust the Lord? Let him put you through some stuff. You'll learn how to trust him. You will learn how to trust him. And it's a trust that I've never had in my life. Pastor knows my testimony. He knows the things that I used to struggle with. He knows more things than probably anybody that knows anything about me would be him. But he knows that I couldn't trust anything. I mean, just had a hard time trusting. I trust now. Mm-hmm. I would trust
that Jesus Christ is going to hold me and my family up. That's who I trust over anything else. He's just God. He's just going to hold us. He's going to get us through it. Mm-hmm. I also believe that Pastor said something to me a couple of weeks ago, and I believe I'm going through a transition in my life, and now more than ever, I feel it tugging on my heart and so on, and he's just going to have to guide it and direct it, whatever direction he would have me to go in and such. That's on the Lord. I got to trust in him on this, but I know that I'm going from one point to the next, and I just don't know which way to go, how to go about it, but you know what? I got to trust that he knows what to do with me. I know this, hopefully by the grace of God, only by the grace of God, in a few weeks I'm going to preach a series on the first four coverings of the tabernacle, and I'm just telling you, this stuff will blow your mind, and I'm finding in there. And I'm going to do a series on that, I just have to get it right. I'm not a perfectionist until it comes to getting stuff right about the Bible. I like to be a perfectionist. I like to make sure that I'm not going out there and spreading junk. But I'm just telling you, man, there's people who always say, there's nothing in that Bible. No, there's nothing to you. There's everything in this Bible. I'm just telling you right now. There's hidden treasures in here that are just, whose it is? Yours. It's there for you. You can find stuff in there and learn stuff in there just as well as anybody else can, but you don't want to. You know, we all get lazy like that. And I'm not patting myself on the back, and I don't, but I just, that's one of the things that I thank God about going through what I'm going through, because I get up in the morning, I do my daily devotions, I pray, and then later on that night, I sit down and I have a study. And man, I'll tell you, one night it went past 12 o'clock. I was just like, man, I gotta go to bed. I had to pull myself away from the Bible. Why? Because it was just that interesting. I was just finding all this stuff and saying, wow. That's one of the things about going through a trial is, if you're faithful to the Lord, like he's faithful to you, you'll really get into the Bible the more stuff you go through. And I believe, because he wants you to understand what you're going through. He wants you to kind of get a direction of what he's trying to do with you. So the more you're in the Bible, the more answers you're going to get. That's what it's there for. He's there to answer you. And I can get pretty rambly. So when the storms are coming, Jesus is in the midst. You think he's not paying any attention to you whatsoever. And all along, he's like, I have you. Just here, picture yourself. If you can close your eyes and just picture. He's sitting there, and you and your family are in his hand, and he has that. How much do you really trust that? Do you really believe that he's got you in his hand? He has you right there. Now, coming from the human standpoint, that is a very, very hard thing to learn how to do. But he is doing it. He is the one who has us in his very hand. Say, I got you. I got you. He's not in that little box you think he is. He's not just a little magnet up there collecting dust. He's not some holding two books from falling over. He is the one that has it all in his hands, and he can take care of it. The thing is, we fight it, and we don't trust it. And then when he does what he wants to do, we don't like it, so we try to fight it even more, and he's got to battle you. If we would just submit, and I'm not saying I know how to submit perfectly, because I don't, but I tell you, I'm getting sick of the beatings. Oh man, you're right. You're right, Lord. Man, I'm sorry. When depression, evil spirits in this world have you out of your mind, Jesus is in the midst. Mark 5. You know the story. Mark 5. Yeah, I went right past it again. Mark 5. Mark 5, 2 through 5. And when Jesus, talking about Jesus, when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. I'm just telling you, there's so many people, and I'm just talking figuratively here. I can't say big words still.
People suffer from depression. People suffer from being possessed. I mean, people, all this crazy stuff that goes on, and where do they try? Where does everybody run to? Everybody runs the opposite of the Bible. Everybody runs the opposite of God. They try all this stuff and they wonder, why isn't this working for me? Why is anything happening in my life? Why is anything changing? The doctor has me on this and that and doing this and that. And he's got me doing headstands in the corner 6 times a day. They'll listen to it. And Jesus said, if you just come to me. You see, this guy ran. Why? He wanted help. This guy, what did it say? He ran to Jesus and worshiped him. He wanted help. He was tired of it. Well, you know what? People in America are not tired of themselves. But they're not tired enough. They're not done with the cutting of themselves and living in the mountains by themselves and being chained up and just lost in all this sin and all this stuff. They're not tired of it yet in America. But those who do get tired, they run to Jesus pretty quickly. They run to him and they worship. They say, Lord, help us. You know, let me read the next verse before I get ahead of myself. Verse 6 says, he saw Jesus and ran afar off and he worshipped him. Verse 15, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You see, when that man, when he got a hold of Jesus Christ, everything changed about him. He had his right mind and he was clothed. He was free. He wasn't bothered by those things anymore. You know what he went? The first thing he went out and did is pull around and told people. He went out and told people that he finally got free. And I can imagine, they said, well, how'd you get free? You know, everybody said, you know, that man Jesus, he touched me. You see, Jesus just got off the boat. He wasn't looking for anybody in particular. But that man knew that Jesus was coming. He knew that Jesus was going to be, he was in the midst. He knew that he just stepped off that boat. How did he know that? Because he's looking. We can't get people to look anymore in America. We can't get them to see it anymore. Can't get them tired of what they're doing. Can't get them tired of what they're hooked into, hooked on, and the things they're into. Can't get them tired of that anymore. And Jesus is still standing there. Stepped off the boat and he's got his arms open. He's saying, where are they? Why aren't they coming to me anymore? You know, it's just a lost art that people look for Jesus anymore. You know, I'm not saying that back in the old days everything was perfect, but you know, when people got tired of things, they didn't go just keep trying other things. They started turning to the Bible and finally got it. Finally got saved, got some help. You know, and that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to help. He wants to change lives. He wants to transform them. And Jesus is in the midst. This guy got found in his right mind. And what does it say at the end of 15? And they were afraid. What are you afraid of? Somebody getting healed and having a better life? Why are people in America afraid when they see somebody's life change and somebody says, oh, Jesus did this to me? People are afraid to hear that now. They're afraid of that. And they want nothing to do with it. Oh, well, what do you mean, Jesus? Normally people were running to Jesus. Now they're running from him. And they have it backwards. When issues in life seem to have taken you over, Luke 8, 43-48. That's pretty hot today, huh? Luke 8, 43-48. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Came behind him, touched his border of his garment, and immediately her issue was stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and all that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me. For I perceive that the virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him and declared unto before all the people that were what cause she had touched him and how she had was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And Jesus was in the midst. He was not looking for anybody in particular. He was just walking in the crowd.
just walking in the midst of all the people who thronged him, all the people with all these problems, and all she did was reach out and touch him. He said, oh, somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. Why? He took her issue on himself. He took her issue and made it his own. Do you know that Jesus wants to take your issue and make it his own? Here's the difference between you and us. He can handle it. He wants us to be able to trust him to be able to handle it. We do not. That includes me. I raise my hand. I don't just say, this is to you guys, I know I have it up. No, me. I don't trust that Jesus can take my issue on himself and have it and handle it and be able to take care of it. I don't trust that either. I'm learning how to do that. But if more people, more Christians can get a hold of Jesus having that issue, and he can take it, and he can hold it, and make it what it's supposed to be, if we could, the more people that could trust that, what a better life we would have. What a better life to know that Jesus has our issues, and he knows what it takes. He knows what it takes. We do not. We do not. That's why over and over again in the Bible, if you look, it says, do not use your wisdom. Why? Because you don't know it. Use the wisdom God gives you. Well, how do I know what's the difference? Because his is clean, yours is dirty. His benefits somebody else, yours benefit you. His will match up with the Bible, yours will not. I mean, pretty simple. That's the wisdom God gives you. It's everything lined up with him. It's nothing lined up with you. If it's lined up with you, forget it. It's your wisdom. Just plain and simple. And I say that to myself too. I'm like, oh yeah, well God gave me, oh no, he didn't give me that. Nope, sorry, I made a mistake. I didn't mean to say that. Let me go back. Yeah. But he has our issues. And maybe we're looking in the wrong place for help. Oh, Captain. When all along, whenever we're facing, Jesus is right along the side of us in the midst of troubles. We may not always get out of our troubles, but Jesus is in the midst of our troubles to get us through. Most people want out of the troubles when he needs you to go through them. That's what he's asking you, just to trust. I'm here. I have you. I'm in the midst. I got you. We're going to get through this. Most people want to either go around it, try to divert it this way, go over the top of it. And he's just saying, let's just go through it. Let's just go through it. Just as he did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Just as he did with the disciples in Matthew 8. Just as he did with the crazy man in Mark 5. And the woman with the issues in Luke 8. And so he will with us. He's in the midst. He knows what it's going to take to get us through. He's there in that trouble. You can cry out to him 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. He does not take holidays off. Okay? He is there. The phone line when you call will never be busy. He's waiting to hear from you. He's waiting for you to call on him. He's waiting for you to trust him. That's what he wants. So when you're going through things, just remember, he did it over and over again in the Bible. He showed himself over and over again in the midst of trouble when people were going through things. If you think about it, just sit back and think about the Bible. We'll just go with the New Testament, and you think about all the times that it talks about Jesus and that, where is he at? With troubled people, hurting people, people that are messed up, crippled, don't know better, and all that, with the religions of the world and all, that's who he's always dealing with. So he knows what we're going, he knows what we need. They weren't no different than us, he knows what we need, he knows what troubles we're going through. And see, we need to be like this woman and just stretch out her. Now, in her heart, she really believed 100% that when she reached out, boom, she was going to be healed. She knew that. How many of us are reaching out going, maybe he will, maybe he won't? That wave hits you in the face and you go, I don't think he will. Bang, it hits you in the face again. Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, walked in that water just fine. Took his eyes off and bang, down he went. But who was there to pick him out again?
Yeah.
Right. Jesus' hand was there again. Come on. Let me get you out of this one. He's there in the midst. He knows we're going to fall. Jesus sank. He sank, and then Jesus said, come on, give me your hand. I'll help get you out. Mm-hmm. You know, your faith made you fall. Your faith made you so you didn't get through the trouble. Your faith made you so you didn't. You got the issue. You couldn't get it handled. Mm-hmm. It's your faith that's going to make you sink.
Yeah.
Touch him. He's there. Touch him. Trust him. He knows better. He knows what we need. Touch him with your issue. He's okay with it. He can handle it. He's Jesus. He's God Almighty.
Amen.
He's not a human being.
You may hurt human beings' feelings with your issues, but you know what? You're not going to hurt Jesus. He likes to hear you. He likes to hear from you. You can lay on your bed cry. You can be in a closet cry. You can walk down the street crying. You can drive crying. Whatever you have to do to get your issues right with Him, you get them right with Him. Hebrews 11:1. He says, we must have faith. You know what's Hebrew 1 say. Oh, excuse me, 11:1. Man. Hebrews 11:1. What's it say? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. I have no clue what's going to happen with my life in the next 3 or 4 days. But I know the evidence is Jesus is going to take care of me. I know He's going to get me through. I have no clue how He's going to do it or what He's going to do, but I just know He's going to do it. Right. I know He's going to take care of me. I know it more than I know that I'm going to be breathing in the next 24 hours. I have no clue if I'm going to be breathing in the next 24 hours, but I know that if I am breathing in the next 24 hours, He's going to take care of the next 24 hours. I know that. I have no questions with that. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us a big thing that nobody does anymore. 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says, I'm going to quote it right. I can quote it, but I'm not going to. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Isn't that what faith? We walk by faith, not by sight. Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen, but yet believe. Blessed are we don't see. He's not here literally holding my hand, but we believe that He's really holding my hand and getting me and my wife through the things that we're going through. I believe that. Why? He says, because we walk by faith. Faith in us. Thank God, not man. Get me out of the way. Move me. No, I don't want to walk by me anymore. Me gets me nowhere. Me gets me in too much trouble. Me want to walk by faith. No, I'm just trying to be Chinese there. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. I have no clue what He's going to do in the next 24 hours. I just know He's going to take care of it. Romans 5:1-6. Romans 5:1-6. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're justified, you have peace with God. Okay? You have peace with God. I had somebody ask me that today. Well, how do you know what, if you're really saved? I said, you have peace with God. You've been justified. You have peace with God. Okay? That's just something that you have. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace where we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Glory in tribulations. Well, let's go through a party. We're going through it again. Yeah, how many of us really do that? But you know what? He says glory in them. Why? He has reasons. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And you know that this has been working patience. It works patience in you. Going through things will work some patience. And why? Because God makes you wait on what His choices are, not yours. And you know, if you follow and do exactly what you're supposed to, which most of the time we won't, but when we do, we understand, whoa, I got more patience in this matter than I did the last one, than I did the one before that, the one before that. And patience, experience, much experience. My boot camp is going just fine. That's what I call. I'm just going through boot camp. That's giving me experience. Experience, hope. I believe I'm on the hope part of this. I'm getting some experience, learning some patience, and now my hope rests in Jesus Christ. That's what my hope is. My hope that He's got to do what He has to do. And hope maketh not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Without strength. So I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me now. Philippians 4:13. This is telling you that when we were without Christ, we didn't have strength. So you mean to tell me since I got saved, I have the strength of Jesus in me? Yes, I do. Do I rely on it? No, I do not. Should I? I probably should. Make my life a whole lot easier. That's what that's telling me. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, not through Dale Morey. Who strengthens me? Christ strengthens me, not myself. So when he's in there standing in the midst saying, Dale, I can probably do a better job than you. Why don't you just go ahead and let me take care of it? We want to try to flex ourselves and say, no, we'll just do it ourselves. He says, well, then you got no strength. Got no strength. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lead not to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He shall direct your path. Did I say that right? He shall direct, not us. I can't direct my own path. I read, I think it was an NIV or ASV. It's one of them told, one of the perversions said that he'll make your path straight. That's not what it says. Did not say he was going to make your path straight. You know what? He may make your path crooked. It did not say he was going to make it straight. You may be walking a straight line and he's going to make it crooked. You may be walking a crooked line and he'll make it straight. That's what it says. He did not say that he was going to make your path straight. He just said he's going to direct it. He's going to direct it. He's going to direct it. Not us. Mark 9:23. And then I think I'm closing with this. Mark 9:23. What about the perversions? Got everything mixed up. Got everybody walking backwards and everything else. And they want to believe that garbage. Get in the King James Bible. Read it. Study it. Let it show you what it's supposed to show you. I haven't been studying that long, but I just tell you what. God has shown me some things, man. You won't ever convince me the King James Bible is not the Word of God. You'll never convince me of that. Never. Ever, ever. You won't show me. I don't want to hear it. Mark 9:23 says, Jesus saith unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible with him that believeth. All things. We can do what it takes through the cross. You know, like brother said, well, I thought God gave you all the desires of your heart. He does, but you know, he has to change the desires of your heart because they're wicked.
Yeah.
They're wicked. Well, Lord, I desire Mercedes-Benz, $1 million in a condo. You ain't getting it, you wickedness. You're nasty, nasty. He's going to give you what he wants you to give. How about some holiness and righteousness? How about being set apart and sanctified? Well, where's anybody want that anymore? There's some holiness, man. Living separate, living a life that what he calls us to. Do you know that's what makes the mother perversion so attractive? They don't have to have that stuff.
That's right.
They're not called to live a holy life. They're not called to live separate. They all dress the same, look the same, act the same, listen to the same stuff, and call it Christianity. No, I'm sorry. What did God say? Be ye holy, for I'm holy. Well, what did they do with that verse in the NIV and all that? Where are you being holy, dressing the way you dress and doing the things you do? Where is it at? Show me.
Yeah, come on.
Either that, or you just don't listen to it. I had one person tell me, "Well, the Old Testament has no meaning anymore these days." Man, are you kidding me?
Really?
You have no clue. Why are you even reading the New Testament without the Old? Just leave it alone. You don't even understand it. You see, we have to trust Jesus in the midst of our troubles. Hard times, crying, depression. I cry at home. I hurt, man. My feelings are hurt. I don't know what to do. And I just say, Lord, I'm so frustrated. I can't get what you're trying to show me. I don't know what else to do. My family seems like it's falling apart. Please help me, help me, help me. You know, and it just seems like, oh my gosh, I'm at the end of my rope. What do I do? What do I do? He says, just keep climbing. It's a little longer. You're okay. Rely on me. I have you. I can carry you. I'm like, can you carry him? I'm heavy. No. But the things that I think is too hard, they're not too hard for Almighty God. Jesus Christ can handle anything that ever could go through. And we just have to rely on that. In the midst of our troubles, it's time for us to stop looking for everything else and just look in our midst and see who's standing there with us.
Man.
We look everywhere else except for the one who's standing here saying, I got you. Footprints in the sand. It ends up with one set of footprints. He said, I know. I don't know the whole thing, but he said, you know, there's only one set there because I was carrying it. He's right in the midst carrying us. When are we going to see it? Open up and see it. When are we going to take a look at him and stop looking at everything else? That's what he wants. I'm done.